shows of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. His program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, I'm glad to talk to you wherever you are in this world, and we're now almost everywhere in the world today, and it's just a very amazing to me, and I'm as surprised as anybody, but I believe God was in it because the program is upholding the Word of God, and it's called Where is God's Word, and we believe that we have it today in the Authorized King James Bible, and we talk about that and tell you why we believe that. But today I'm so glad we have with us today Pastor Al Davis, and he's a friend of mine, and he's a radio personality, and so I'm glad he's here, and he's a big help already. And then Clark Block, who is going to get married very soon, and he is very important because he drives me here, and so it's so great to be with you. And we think about the fact that we're getting closer and closer to the time when the Lord comes back and all the problems of the world will be solved instantly because he's coming back. And God's people are getting ready for that time, and the devil is setting up the kingdom that Jesus is going to take over, and God's laughing at him. All the atheists and socialists are working very hard on setting up this world government. And when they get it totally set up, the Bible says that God will take over. He says, "Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion." Zion is a mountain right in the heart of Jerusalem where King David ruled. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be the absolute monarch, the king of this whole world. And he's going to rule it right and do it right because he is the Lord. You know, that makes me think of something. I'm going to give him free advertisement. But recently I had an operation at Cleveland Clinic, and so the doctor there, she was very competent, and she did a very good job. And she asked me, and I'm sort of surprised, pleasantly surprised, because it's a world-class clinic. She said, "Would you like me to have a prayer for you before the operation?" I said, "Sure," you know, and she prayed a good prayer for me, and she did it right. She said it right. She prayed in Jesus' name. And so I just felt really good about that, and I thank the Lord for that, that they allow the doctors there to do it, and that's probably why that's such a successful thing. Now, I just gave them free advertisement, but they advertised they said something good about my Lord, so I want to say something good about them too, you know. And they're in Cleveland, Ohio, of course. But I'm so glad that these brothers are here with us, and then I also want to mention this. I want to mention Pastor Mark Valeni at People's Baptist in Brunswick. They support me and make it possible for me to do these programs. And then Pastor Andy Risnacko, Bible Baptist Temple, they support me also. And Brother Andy's on this program, on this station a lot. And he's got a church in Euclid, Ohio. And then Country Baptist Church also supports, and then all you folks that pray for us out there, I thank God, and I really enjoy reading the letters. We're getting a lot of letters from Africa, and what a blessing those letters are. And you know, we're going to really be praying for you out there because it's getting very dangerous in parts. I understand. I just heard a speaker from Nigeria, and the Muslims, it's a very peaceful religion, of course, they're murdering people in Nigeria. Christians are getting murdered there, and this is a firsthand report. So, you know, I just thought about it. Why don't we pray for those people right now and ask the Lord to help us? And Brother Davis, would you pray and ask God to help those people in Nigeria?
Sure, Bruce, thank you. And yeah, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you today, and we thank you for the opportunity that we have to be on the radio and to be able to communicate your word to people throughout the world. And we just think of what's going on in Africa today. And it's not just Africa. It's elsewhere in the world, throughout Asia and different parts of the Middle East and various parts of the world, the persecution of believers. But we think especially in Nigeria today. And we think of the Muslim persecution. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to hear about this one gentleman that came to Christ a few years ago in Nigeria came out of Islam, where he used to persecute the Christians, and now he's doing his best to proclaim your word. And Lord, other stories like that coming out of other parts of the Islamic world, people turning from the false satanic religion of Islam to the true religion of Christ and embracing the gospel. We just pray for those that are in Africa today, and pray for those in Nigeria in particular, that you would help your word to go forth, and Lord, that you would pray that you would put a hedge about those believers, that you would protect them, and that you would strengthen them, and that you'd raise up a powerful witness in that part of the world for the truth of the gospel and the strength of Christ. And we know the Bible says greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And so we just pray that you would just support those people and bless them, encourage them, and that your word would go forth. Thank you again, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, preacher. And you know, you Christians could pray out there for those people, like in Nigeria right now. It's very dangerous and Christians are being murdered there, that God would comfort them and strengthen them. And I hear from many reports that thousands of Muslims are turning to Jesus Christ all across North Africa.
About 6,000 a day, I think I heard.
6,000 a day. You know, I was thinking, well, an intelligent person, you know, they look around and they see all this murder and killing and raping going on, and they must think, well, what kind of a religion do we have here that does all that stuff? And, you know, biblical Christianity, and you know, there's a difference. There's a form of Christianity that calls itself that, but it really is not. I mean, it's been perverted and corrupted, and that's what we talk about here. In biblical Christianity, Jesus Christ is the Lord. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to have eternal life. How is he the Lord? He's the Lord through his words. That's how he's the Lord. And Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And the devil's job is to question God's word or pervert the word or something. And the Bible says that there's many that corrupt God's word. But also, though, that the Lord said he would keep his words down through times. And so we have every reason to believe in looking into the Bible where his true words are. And they're found in the received text out of Antioch. And they're also found in the Authorized King James Bible. The English language is a universal language. But there's translations from the King James Bible in many languages, so that's where you find the true words of God. And we know today that from the early church fathers, in studies made of them and the early manuscripts, over 99% support the readings of the King James, and hundreds of these ancient Bibles are found in museums all over Europe. And although they're in different languages, they back the readings of the King James Bible. And it's important because we have Bible schools today. Instead of teaching people how to witness for Christ and so on, they're teaching them how to correct the Word of God based on their ignorance, you know, and it's really bad. So God has raised up this program, and I'm astounded that we are on all over the world. I never dreamed of such a thing, and it's just a miracle of God. That's what I believe. Yes.
Yeah. I let me correct my figure on 6,000 Muslims converting Christianity a day in Africa. I was a little off. According to Sheikh Ahmed Al-Qahtani, the president of the Companions Lighthouse for the Science of Islamic Law in Liberia, it's 16,000 Muslims every day converting to Christ. So I was a little off. I was a little low. And that shows God's word's going forth, isn't it? And,
oh, yeah.
And we'll not return void.
We're getting letters from Africa from our program, you know, very appreciative letters. And I thank God for it, you know. And they're telling the Muslims out there now having Bible studies and preaching the Word of God, and they want Bibles. And I'm going to try to get to these letters, but I'm having a difficulty there, and even getting Bibles and so on. I'm going to have to set up something to get this taken care of, to get some of these out there, you know. But I just see what God is doing. And here's the thing. People talk about the Crusades and so on, you know. Well, that wasn't put out by people that followed the Lord Jesus Christ. They may have said that, but they were not going by the Bible. You know, the people who carried on the Crusades, they actually, in 1215, at the Council of Toulouse, in France, they said anybody that was caught with the New Testament would be burned at the stake. I mean, this actually happened about 1215 Council of Toulouse. And they didn't want the Bible because if people read it, the entrance of thy word giveth light. And they were responsible for killing millions of people, Jews and Baptists. And the true Bible-believing churches were there right from the time of Christ. And we've got the history of it. And they don't want people. I am telling you, if you're listening to me today, Jesus Christ, who is supposed to be the founder of our faith, and he is the founder, he's the Lord God Almighty, and he said, search the scriptures. Mm-hmm. That is the command that he has given to every Christian and to everybody, to search the scriptures and read the scriptures. And a lot of people, they don't want people doing that because it doesn't line up with their religion or their beliefs or their faith. But the New Testament faith, Jesus said, whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. I am a Baptist, but the Baptist churches do not save anybody. Jesus Christ is the Savior. He's the one that died on the cross. He shed his blood. He is our Savior alone. And in a simple prayer, if you were willing to turn from sin and turn to Jesus Christ as your Lord, you will have eternal life instantly. And Jesus said, whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. I'll never kick you out. If you believe in what Jesus taught, you are as sure of heaven as if you've been there a million years. I know there's people that say that that is presumption. You can't say that. Jesus said it. He said, whosoever cometh unto me, I'll no wise cast out. And he said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And he said, all the ones that came to me, I have lost none of them. I've never lost a person that's come to me. That is, every person that comes to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith and accepts them as their God and their Savior, the one that paid for their sins, will go to heaven without any record that they've ever sinned, will meet God in total joy. He is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
I tell you, I was in the hospital. I got so thrilled about that, I just had to tell all the nurses about it. It says in the Bible, blessed is the man to whom God doth not impute iniquity. All my sins have been counted to Jesus, and Jesus' perfect life has been counted to me. I thought, man, that's so good. No human being could have ever thought such a thing up, you know. It had to be God Almighty that thought it up. And so, anyway, that's what we're talking about. But that's why we have this program. Now, Paul, the Bible says there's many that corrupt the word of God, but God keeps that. There's corrupt manuscripts, but God keeps his word pure through all times also. The corruption is out there, but the pure is out there also. And the Bible says the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Do you know that the modern versions, and I'm talking about the Revised Standard Version, the New World of the JWs, the New American Standard Perversion, the New International Version, all these are corruptions that are based on less than 1% of the manuscript evidence. And many of the Greek texts, I have to repeat this over and over again. Young people say, well, I'm going to study the original Greek, and they're promoting that all the time. The guy that put out a corrupt text, Westcott and Horty, says the New Testament in the original Greek. And I've said this many times before. It's original, all right. It's original with him because it never existed before then. The true text is found in the Antiochian text of the received text, and it's translated in the King James. And I believe, you know, there's a famous Baptist pastor that died some years ago, and he received a doctorate from Bob Jones University. He had the largest Baptist church in the world. His name was Dallas Billington. And I got a track from his track rack at the church there at the time he was pastor, Akron Baptist Temple. And on there said, we believe the King James Bible is the verbally inspired word of God. And, you know, I call them the chaos cult that promotes all kinds of Bibles that disagree with each other or constantly correcting the true text. They think that's heresy to say that. But the Bible says that the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the first purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And so God said he would preserve those words. And in that famous passage where it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, they read that without reading the other verse. And the other verse says, this is the verse right next to it, says, from a child thou hast known the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
You think he had original autographs? He didn't have them. He had copies of copies. And it says the scripture is inspired.
Mm-hmm.
The scripture is inspired. It's given by inspiration. So if you have the true scripture, it's inspired. And the words verbal inspiration in originals would mean very little if it wasn't preserved. If God was careful about giving the words, he's also careful about keeping it. But they teach about him giving the words perfect, but they don't teach about him keeping the words. That's too much for their faith. Their God is too small. He couldn't fight his way out of a paper bag. We have a great big God that Jesus said, all power is given unto me. And he said he'd keep his words, and he is doing it. And that's why today it's just out of the clear blue sky, somebody said, I'll give you time on the radio. And he gave his free time. And since that time, it's gone stations all over. It's actually going all over the world right now. And I couldn't even afford to pay for 15 minutes on one station. And yet the money comes in for all of these stations, and it's on the internet. Do you know where we are on the internet by any way?
Somebody's listening right now, and also it occurred to me, we didn't give out the phone numbers earlier on.
Yeah, let's give out the phone numbers.
Yeah, and I'll get the internet
I'm
thing
glad
there, too.
You're here.
I forgot about it myself today. I was just busy listening. So if you're listening and you want to call in this afternoon, talk to Bruce Musselman about this issue of the Bible, you can give us a call toll-free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And if you have trouble getting through on the toll-free line, you can give us a call at 216-901-0933. And certainly wherever you are, the 216-901-0933 number would work. And you can get on the air here with Bruce Musselman beyond till 4 o'clock here this afternoon. And you can go online to the radio station here where we're at, AM 1220 WHKW. You can go online if you go to www.whkwradio.com. That's whkwradio.com. Not only can you listen to the program there, but you can also click on the listen. You click on the listen live there, you can hear that. And I think that's what you were looking for, right? And that'll have some of the phone numbers there too, I think. But Bruce, we've got two callers calling in already. Do you want to take the first one?
Amen.
John is the first one, I believe.
Okay, John, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good.
Great.
I always wondered why the King James does not have the Epistle of Barnabas.
Well, it wouldn't have it because, you know, first of all, the early church, the Holy Spirit guided them into getting the books. That's what you have to believe, you know, because they were quoting these books long before the Council of Carthage. So it was the guidance of the Holy Spirit that led him into the books that we have today. We have to believe that. Jesus said the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and he will guide you into all truth, and he will abide with you forever. So the early church was quoting most of the New Testament books very soon, as scripture.
Wasn't Barnabas from Antioch?
Well, if it was Paul's, if it was one of the people that went with Paul, the problem is that you have a lot of books being written at that time using the names of New Testament writers or people that were connected with Paul. For instance, they believe that Second Clement was a forgery, you know, and there's other books like that, that they would take the names of these people. But we believe that the Holy Spirit didn't give the early church witness to it because they weren't really quoting it that much, the Epistle of Barnabas. And furthermore, it may not line up with New Testament doctrine.
Well,
Pastor Al?
Yeah, I was just going to say, John, that the first editor of the Epistle of Barnabas was a guy by the name of Hugo Minardus in 1645. And although he thought it was written by Barnabas, the general assumption today is that it was not written by Barnabas, and it was written between 70 and 131 A.D., but it was given the name Barnabas just to give it some credibility.
Well, I know I was looking up on the internet, and it was saying that the first century Christians were using the Epistle of Barnabas as scripture.
Well, at that time, just like today, you had a lot of people out there that professed to be Christian but didn't believe in Christian doctrine at all, like Origen. See, and so they could be quoting some of them. I can't say exactly who was quoting it and how, if they were genuine Christians. For instance, Origen was later found to be a heretic, and he really was. Today, in a lot of books, they promote him. And Origen actually said that he talked against salvation being a free gift. He said you have to work for it by your good deeds and so on, you know. And so by biblical standards, he wasn't even a Christian, although he defended Christianity. So I can't say particularly there.
Well, isn't it true that the canon was not finally established until the time of Athanasius?
Well, that is officially. They said at the Council of Carthage, but before that, most of the Christians were quoting certain books as scripture. I mean, it's not in the New Testament. See, in the Old Testament, the keepers of the Word of God had to be the priest class. They were the ones that were to keep the Word of God. But in the New Testament, we are a kingdom of priests.
Right.
So it is the Holy Spirit bearing witness to all of the Christians that show what the true books were of the Bible. And so it was most of the other books were widely quoted, but they had to be apostolic. They were either written by an apostle or they were with somebody that was an apostle.
Well,
there was counterfeit books also, see.
I always understood Barnabas to be an apostle. The same as Paul was.
He wasn't, Barnabas was not part of the 12.
No, but
sometimes they use it as the word as a missionary. You know, they use the word as a missionary, but he wasn't part of the 12 that had seen Jesus Christ.
No.
And had done the miracles.
But neither had Paul, but Paul was an apostle.
Yes, Paul says, I've seen Jesus Christ. He said that, and he was, Peter quoted Paul as scripture. He said his writings were scripture. So there's, in the New Testament, there's only 12 apostles in the end.
Right.
So.
But I think the New Testament talks about others being apostles like Timothy.
Yes, I've mentioned that already. The word sometimes was just used as a missionary, but I'm talking about the 12 apostles. In the book of Revelation, there was only 12 at the end,
right.
And they were the foundation of the true church.
Well, then should we exclude Luke?
No, I said the books were either written by an apostle or somebody that was with an apostle. Luke was with Paul. We know that as a fact.
Wasn't Barnabas with Paul?
Yes, he was. But
I guess I'm wondering, do you find anything heretical about the Epistle of Barnabas?
Pastor Al has just pointed out that he had just mentioned that people believe that it was not part of the general scripture.
Okay.
That's why. But that's a good question. I'm glad you called, because you can bring up anything, you know, and we'll discuss it, and it makes an interesting program. There's a lot of questions out there that people have. But see, it's just the same. The general group of Christians accepted these certain books all the way across the line. It wasn't just a few, because some of them, like Origen, by biblical standards, he was not a born-again person, although today's phrase, because he brought out his own ideas when it came to Christianity, but it wasn't biblical.
Well, I know a lot of the Eastern churches wouldn't accept the book of Revelation.
Well, that may have been later on, you know, but the great number of Christians down through the ages have accepted it, you know, and we believe that's the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus said the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and he will guide you into all truth, and he will abide with you forever. That's why we believe the King James, because despite a massive amount of propaganda against it and attack against it, generation after generation goes back to it. Why? The Holy Spirit is with them, and Jesus said he will guide you into all truth, not partial truth. And so despite all the modern translations that have come out and all the propaganda against it, generation after generation goes back to it, of born-again Christians. That is, people that believe that Jesus, they've accepted him as Lord and Savior.
Well, I find it kind of ironic that Athanasius was from Alexandria.
Well, you know, not everybody that was from Alexandria was bad, but, you know, I would say Athanasius was pretty good in reading his writings. He stood for the deity of Jesus Christ. But basically,
if he had the manuscripts of Origen, then how would he have come to an accurate knowledge then?
Well, very simply, suppose he had the wrong text there. It's just like people today, some of the truth is in the wrong text also. You know, it's like somebody might find some rings or something, gold rings in a garbage can, you know, but
right.
Or they might find some food. Some people who are garbage pickers find some food in there, but you don't go to a garbage can to find food.
Okay.
And the same thing goes with the scriptures. Jesus said he'll guide us into all truth. We are to believe that everything we read in the Bible is true.
Right. Okay, well, it was nice talking with you.
Yeah. Thank you for calling.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Okay, good call. I enjoyed that.
Oh, we have another caller, too, and I was going to say I was trying to look up something here, too, real quick on the epistle of Barnabas. There was also a gospel of Barnabas, but the epistle of Barnabas, I guess, had some numerology prominent in it. So I've not read the epistle or the gospel of Barnabas myself. So I don't know if you know anything more about that, but we do have another caller calling in, and we have John.
John, you're on the air.
Thank you. Guys, I just received or bought the Word of God, the Sword Bible. It has a picture of a sword on the front cover, and Old Testament has the words of God in red, as the New Testament has the words of Christ in red. But at the end of each verse, there are updated definitions of the archaic words. I wondered if you guys have ever seen this or had one of these Bibles.
I haven't. That's a new one on me. Have you?
Is it? Does it say in there what version it is, like King James? And then
King James. I mean,
oh, okay.
King James.
Because I've got one, for instance, it's called the Define King James Bible.
Right.
And
it's similar.
It's got... you know, like you'll see a footnote, like if you read the word shoe, S-H-E-W, and it'll show you down there that it's basically the word show. And there's some other words in there, you know, older words that we might not be as familiar with today are defined in the footnotes. But there, at least the one that I have, the Define King James, it's a King James version. It's just it's got words defined, you know, to help you. And that sounds like what you're talking about there.
This has the same thing, except the word is actually in the passage itself, and it's very helpful. You don't have to look down at the bottom.
Oh, okay. I think I know what you're talking about. And do you have it in front of you right now?
No, I don't. But it does have a picture of a sword on it.
Okay. The reason I was asking that is you have to be careful because Brother Bruce The New Scofield Bible does that. They take some of these words and they actually change them in the text, even though it's King James only. And you have to be careful because sometimes when they change the words, they actually change the meaning of the words. And there's a word, for instance, in the Bible called a stonied. And I think the New Scofield Bible, for instance, replaces that with astonished. And they're really two different words. Because a stone.
No, this doesn't replace any words.
Huh?
It keeps the original text.
Okay, I thought maybe I misunderstood. I thought you said that the word was replaced in the text with a more updated word.
No, not replaced. The updated word is at the end of the text, or like a definition.
It's like in a parenthesis or something.
Right.
Or alongside in the margin.
Right.
Exactly. Okay, that'd still be the same principle because, like I was saying, if it changes the word, like a stonied means to become as stone, just like it sounds. But an astonished can be similar, but it also is different.
All right. I just wondered if you had heard of it, but I thank you very much.
Yeah, And thank you for the call. And, of course, those phone numbers are 888-677-9673. And that's the telephone number coming in. And Bruce, we got a break coming up. If you want to address this a little bit more after the break, that'd be great.
Okay. Go ahead.
Law, liberty, justice. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I've been told at my workplace that I'm not allowed to have any religious conversation with any fellow coworker. Me and another coworker want to converse about this, and it does not interfere with the work environment. They're having someone else offended, and I told them we have the right to freedom of speech, but we don't have the right not to be offended. And I just want to hear your views on that there.
You're right. I mean, sometimes people have interpreted, and some courts have interpreted the First Amendment as a basis upon which you have the right not to be offended. But when you're on your break time, when you're in the lunchroom during lunch, and you want to have discussions about your faith, about what the gospel means to you in your life, you're allowed to have those discussions. Let me get you in touch with some of our legal staff here at the American Center for Law and Justice, and we'll get you some help as well.
Join the American Center for Law and Justice in defending our religious liberties. Find out more at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
I love the way John R.W. Stott hits the nail on the head. Hi, I'm Chuck Swindoll. John Stott says, when men and women get intoxicated with heady heresies and sparkling novelties, ministers must keep calm and sane. The late, great John Calvin put it this way, the more determined men become to despise the teaching of Christ, the more zealous should godly ministers be to assert it. But being mere men, we tend to back off. We fold our arms and sigh, oh, what's the use? Now more than ever, we need our pastors, our preachers, to hold onto their sanity and preach the truth.
Pastor and teacher Chuck Swindoll. Visit Insight for Living's website at insight.org.
All right, this is Bruce Musselman talking for Where is God's Word? And we have Pastor Al Davis here with us, and he's a big help. He's got this computer out here, and while you're talking, he's just checking things out right here, and so he's a help, and I'm glad he's here. And then Brother Clark Block, and he's really happy today because he's getting married, and he's a big help getting me here. And so We have God's Word, and we're teaching. We have it, and it's found in the Authorized King James Bible and translations that have been made from this that is all over the world. And the text comes from Antioch in Syria. That's the missionary church that sent out the missionaries, and it's called the Antiochian Text. And so we're thankful today, though, we have God's Word. And, you know, we were talking about, if you don't know a word, most of the time the definitions are found a few verses down. I see this all the time. You'll see one word and maybe you don't understand. Just keep reading, and you'll see what the meaning of that word is. If you don't, you could go to an old Webster's dictionary. And the lexicons, though, are not reliable. Even a man named Chadwick of one of the famous Ivy League colleges, he stated that even though he was involved in writing these, he said they're not reliable. And a lot of them put out by the Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. And the problem today in the Christian world is you have a lot of people that are not Christians by biblical standards. To be a Christian by biblical standards, you must receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Lord means he's the boss through his words, and you recognize that. And Savior means he died on the cross. He was punished for our sins. His blood was shed for our sins, and he bodily rose from the dead. And so when you receive him as Lord and Savior, you have eternal life. But there's people, a number of these people like that write some of these texts on, sometimes these things just escape my mind, but they're not Christians by any biblical standard. They may call themselves that. And they're involved in writing lexicons and also making up fictitious texts. The true text is a received text, and it's found in the King James Bible. And the fictitious texts are made up by people that were Gnostics and by the first person that put it out. One of the first ones was Origen. And he was a great Bible corrupter. And basically, Constantine's Bibles are based on Origen's corruptions. And they're supported. And actually, they've been promoted by the papacy since about 1450, the Codex B. Vaticanus. And yet, he's wrong. The Pope is wrong there. The Vatican Sinaiticus Bibles are Constantine's Bibles. They disagree 3,000 words in the Gospels. The modern versions are based on these, and they were based on the corruption that Origen put out. And this text is called the Eclectic Text. The manuscripts are constantly mixed. They disagree with each other, four different manuscripts with four different readings. What kind of a Bible is that based on something as corrupt as that? But the Authorized King James Bible is in, there's many scripture verses that point to it. And one of them we said, and I'm going to repeat this again. Jesus says the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and he will guide you into all truth, not partial truth. We don't believe in these guys that correct the Bible on the radio and television are telling the truth. And furthermore, they don't even know what they're talking about. And I know that because they would tell you what Greek text they're following, because there's all kinds of Greek texts, and they'd tell you what kind of lexicon they were following. And so they just say they're so dogmatic, and you're supposed to drop your Holy Bible, the King James Bible, and believe what they say. Well, don't do it. I was reading an article, and I was discussing with Brother Davis, and in there, this particular Bible teacher said Christians shouldn't be involved in politics or pastors. I believe that there's a way that we should. I don't believe it's good for a preacher to campaign necessarily for an individual. But he used as his proof text where the modern versions say, "My kingdom is not of this world." And the modern versions quote Jesus saying, "My kingdom is not of this world." That is a falsehood. When you take out one word, and many times you check these versions out with your Bible, but you don't check all the words out. And here, what they have done when they quote it that way, and he quoted it that way because he uses a corrupt Bible, Jesus says, "Now is my kingdom not of this world." Could you read that? Do you have that there, Pastor Davis?
Yeah, actually, the "now" comes a little later in the text. Remember, okay. We were talking about that. He said in John 18:36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." And meaning that right now, it's not the time for his kingdom to be established.
Yeah, so he said not now. But if you take out "now," then he says he's not going to have a kingdom of this world. Well, the book of Revelation and all through the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ will come back and rule 1,000 years. That's what the book of Revelation states. He will rule 1,000 years from Jerusalem, Israel. And that is so clearly taught. And by the way, it was taught, you read the church fathers of the early church in premillennial teaching. They call this in the history books, chiliasm, meaning 1,000. And it was taught almost universally. I have a book by Hippolytus, who is pastor in Rome, about 200. And I have his book on prophecy, and it lines up very much with what we teach and what we believe, because it was based on the New Testament. And it wasn't until, it was about, years later that Bishop Damasus said that this was a heresy. It was about 430 or something. He said that it was a heresy to believe this. The Council of Ephesus in 432, they said that this teaching was a heresy. But it's taught in the Bible. It was taught and believed by churches all through the Dark Ages. The premillennial return of Jesus Christ. Christ is coming back and violently taking over the earth. And that means we as Christians do not fight wars. Our battle is spiritual battle, where the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, that is guns and bullets and bombs, but spiritual through the mighty through God, through the casting down of strongholds. And so you change one word like "now," you take "now" out, and it says Jesus' kingdom is not of this world, but we pray for Jesus' kingdom to come. Thy kingdom come. And it's taught in the Bible that he will come back and take over this planet. And before he comes back, the devil will have set up a kingdom, and he's working on it right now. All of his crowd are setting up this world government right now. And God's laughing at them because when they get it totally set up and the Antichrist for 3.5 years rules this earth, Jesus is going to say, like in a check game, he's going to say, chess game, checkmate, and that's it. He takes over. The battle lasts about as long as it says to give a sentence out because he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he will rule over this planet. See, so every word is important, and God says that he would preserve the words, and this is taught in many places in the Bible. Now, about Christians being involved in politics, I don't believe that we should a pastor should campaign, but the Bible says that God says, I have not, Paul says, I have not failed to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. We should preach about everything, including politics. Romans 13 talks about politics and how we're to relate to our government. And even though they may be corrupt and evil, as long as they don't tell us to do something against the word of God, we're to pay taxes, we're to show honor to whom honor is due. And many governments in the past are evil. The Roman government, when Paul wrote that, was very wicked. They were practicing sodomy, abortion, murder, everything you could. But God still says you obey the government unless the government tells you to do something directly against the word of God. Then you stand on the word of God alone, no matter what the cost is. And so the preacher needs to tell people about everything that's going on and preach from the Word of God what it says. And I think it would help a lot if when they have a campaign, you give out voting records of how they have voted. And furthermore, invite the politicians on a night you're not having a service to your church. Have both parties come. And ask them questions about where they stand and have the people ask questions. And then the pastor can stand and say, this is what we believe to the politician. And the people will find out what the politicians believe and we can have an influence. But if we don't do anything, we'll have people in there that will make laws that will cause persecution. And they're already starting to do that. Why should millions of Christians just be passive and do nothing? And I have seen over and over again where wicked things have been going on and Christians started to pray first and then they did something. I've seen where they're teaching something in a certain community and I'm not going to mention it, but a community right near here and they were teaching a very evil course and a couple of ladies started praying and one of them went in and then ended up as the head of the school board in a major city. Another lady started praying with their friend, and she went in, and they got her on a committee and kicked out the evil course that they were doing. And so God will back you, but Christians need to do something. And I'll tell you something very simple that you can do, but before the time of the election, start going to the party meetings. And just you don't have to push yourself, but just when jobs come open, just volunteer for the jobs and just do it, you know? I mean, just do things. There's a time to speak and there's a time not to speak, you know? And you could just do the jobs and eventually, people like Sarah Palin. She's a Christian and she just went in there and started out in a school board and eventually almost became president of the United States, a Bible-believing Christian. But what do you have to say about that, Brother Davis?
Well, I agree, Bruce. You know, I think a lot of the problems that we see in our country today is precisely because Christians have not gotten involved in the community around them. And I like what you said, starting out at the local level. You know, it's hard to get involved even at the state level, really, unless you show a track record to the people that are there of having been involved in your local community. And if I might make a parallel, and you look in Acts chapter 13, when God selected Paul and Barnabas to go out on that first missions journey, he found two people who were first active in their local church before he sent them out to a larger ministry to the world. And I think the same thing can be said. We need to be active at a local level if we're going to make an effect at, you know, starting with the local level, county level, state level and then eventually on the national level. And I think Sarah Palin, as you said, was a good example, starting out at the local level, eventually became governor of Alaska, and then candidate for vice president, and then even talked about as a candidate for president, possibly. And, you know, the Bible says we're to be the salt of the earth in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, you're the salt of the earth. And but it says, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It's good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. And we're also supposed to be light. And if we're hiding our light, we're not making a difference, are we? And so we need to speak out on the moral issues at whenever we have opportunity.
Yeah, you know, I heard a slogan that some Jews say. It says, if we don't rule, our enemies will, you know, and that's, and so just so that we have the freedom to preach and freedom to live a peaceable life, and we're supposed to pray for the government. I wonder how many people do that, you know, pray for our elected officials. But if we just go to the party meetings that, see, right now, if you go when we're not having elections, there's only a few people there, you know, but I know one church that practically took over one party, one independent Bible-believing church in Alaska, and they wrote the rules for one party, you know, just because the people went. And now there's only a few people going, but just you don't even have to talk too much about where you stand, but just time to speak and time not to. But just volunteer for the jobs quietly. You don't have to push yourself ahead. But anyway, we're getting sort of off the subject. You know, I want to mention, too, about these lexicons. Now, again, Jesus sowed the seed, which is the word of God, but then the enemy came and sowed tares. You know, we got a plague of bed bugs in this city and over North America, and they get in the walls and they get in everything, and they spread rapidly. You know, we get spiritual bed bugs in evangelicalism, I mean, in the colleges. There are people that are not really believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and his words, and they're putting out these lexicons. What is a lexicon? It's a Greek-English dictionary or Hebrew-English dictionary. When these guys get on and correct the King James, I'm telling you, they say, the Greek says. Well, first of all, what Greek text are they using? And secondly, whose lexicon or Greek English dictionary they're using? And I would recommend this book, and I say it's one of the great books of this century, one of the most important books of this century, if you're really interested in this subject. It's called Hazardous Materials. And Gail Ripplinger, who is a real blessing and spiritual lady, she's we use her material here. Now, I studied it before that I met her and read her books, but I mean, now she gives a massive amount of material. She knows all the, she's weighed up on the latest information, and she evaluates it from a spiritual angle. And there's many other people, and you can, that great people that are writing fantastic books on this subject. Now, people that want to correct the Bible or want to use corrupt text, I call them the ostrich club. And I know I've been saying this. I hope I just irritate you, some of you, enough that you will actually read something on the other side. I cannot understand on an issue like this, it's so important, how a preacher that's educated would only read one thing. I heard this one pastor, and he's pretty evangelical, pretty straight. He says, now, don't give me one of those books. What do you think about this, Brother Davis?
Well, you know, it's people don't want to see the other side. You wonder how much they really believe or what they're afraid of. Maybe they're afraid they'll find the truth or something. I was looking at something recently, and it was purporting to tell you which, you know, how to decide which Bible to use. And let me see if I had it here still. I'll tell you the books that it gives you to read. And let me throw this out. Tell me what you think here. Turn this back to you.
While you're talking, just let me interrupt you a minute. Let me give the phone number, and you can get a little catalog of a lot of outstanding books. So I want to get this in. You will talk to Bryn Ripplinger. It's 1-800-435-4535. 1-800-435-4535. Go ahead.
These are the books that it gives you to about the King James issue, and this is a major figure in evangelicalism today. The King James Only Controversy by James White and the King James Version Debate: A Plea for Realism by D.A. Carson, and neither of those men give a balanced approach, do they? It's one-sided.
Oh, I read their books. No, they don't have any authority.
That's all they have. They have nothing from the other side. They have nothing from the other side.
Yeah.
And that's typical. They don't give you the other side. And what are they afraid of?
I noticed that some of these books that I read, you know, they haven't even read anything. They don't even know what they're talking about in writing books because they haven't even, they're not answering what the Bible-believing side is saying. They don't even read it. They're so afraid of it. It's like, well, Jesus said his words will not pass away. And he says, the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. When we read the King James Bible, we are reading all truth. And we ought to believe in what Jesus said. We have the truth. It says, in thy word do I trust. Do you trust in his word today? If you don't have that, you got chaos. And I call him the chaos cult. You know why? That's the devil. The devil says, yea, hath God said. But Jesus Christ is the rock, and his words are the rock. And we have it today. And if you're in other countries, you have translations of the true text all over the world today. So I'm so glad that you listened, and you pray for us, and we'll pray for you. And God bless you. Jesus is coming soon.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.
The preceding program's views, claims, or representations may not